I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Featured Anime Podcast. I'm your host, Jack.
And I'm Rick.
And today we are talking about the second movie, Made in Abyss, Wandering Twilight, which was my choice, basically, honestly. I'll say it is what it is. It's a continuation for the movies that we've been watching. But before that, we were just, you know, in general, having a good time talking and enjoying each other's wonderful company, talking to CJ and asking him some very key and pivotal, wonderful questions and getting rated on Twitch, where you can listen to us live at twitch.tv/featuredanimepodcast. If you want to come hang out with us whenever we go live. If you want to help support us, though, we do have our pre and post show that goes out with every episode, usually all pre-show almost with every single episode, with some very rare occasions. If you want to hear what those are, you can go to patreon.com/featuredanimepodcast. $1 a month will get you access to those bonus content. Also, you'll hear about some plans and future aspirations that I have kind of going on for us and things that I'm going to be trying to do. And you can also hear us talk about Yu-Gi-Oh! And how much I think it's a broken game, because it's a broken game. And I will say this one more time, it's a broken game. But if you want to hear a part of the wider conversation, again, patreon.com/featuredanimepodcast, or you can go to our show notes and use our affiliate link for Tokyo Treats and use coupon code featured anime to get $5 off your first box, which I can promise you the treats are delicious and they are well worth it. I promise you that 100%. And the Snacktacular Christmas is this month's box, or December's box, and it is full of delicious, tasty treats. Again, featured anime with our affiliate link in the show notes. $5 off your first box. And if you want to contact us or anything like that, you could go to featuredanimepodcast.com to reach out to us, join our Discord and everything else. Be happy to hear from you or give you recommendations. We'd love to get them. And now on to the meat and brotatoes. Made in an Abyss, Wandering Twilight. The second movie came out January 2019. A couple producers for it are ATX, Sony Music Communications, Kodokawa, just to name a couple. The studio for it is Kenima Citrus. It's based off of web manga. The genres for it are action, adventure, drama, fantasy, mystery, sci-fi, and survival. And it ran for it 1 hour 45 minutes. Now, basically, if you have seen the movie or the series, the movie takes place for the last third of the series, basically episodes 9 through 13, where Riku and Reg descend into the third layer of the abyss. And as they're going through the third layer, they finally do get to the fourth layer, running into a monster that's called an orbed piercer. Riku ends up getting hurt from the orbed piercer. And as a result, they meet a new individual named Nanachi, and you learn about Nanachi, how they came to be there and their circumstances, as well as a little bit more about the events and everything kind of going on within the abyss itself. And that's basically it. Now, that's the kind of summed up nicely, because that's the whole movie right there.
A good 80% of it, at the very least. But one of the things I thought was really nice. So my overall opinion of the movie, I liked it a lot. I feel like it was, if you watch one right after the other, similar to how we did it, it doesn't feel like there's really any downtime. And it felt very good, I guess you could say. Like there was no disconnect. And the feelings you have at the end of the first one where you're like, wait a second, she was dead, but she was brought back by all of these really awesome forgotten relics, if you will. Only to find out that apparently it's just common knowledge now that she was born dead.
Well, that was all in the first movie.
No, in this, well, yes. Yeah, so in the first movie, we find that out. But as we were talking about it, I was not aware that she knew. I was not aware that everyone knew. I was just under the impression that the higher ups knew about it. Whereas in this movie, it was confirmed that, what was the guy's name? Rob? No, the boy.
Reg.
Sorry, I was close. Reg introduces her and talks about her and goes, oh yeah, she was born dead, but through the use of relics, she was brought back to life.
Well, yeah, he was right there when she was told.
Yeah.
I guess I
missed that part in the original one.
In the first movie, he was literally right there when she was, he was right there just before he got his butt whooped in the first movie. He was right there when she was being told this.
I'll have to go back because I didn't know that. I thought it was in the, like the, after everything in the flashback with the mom talking about how special this daughter was and stuff like that.
The mom and Ozan were the ones that knew. Mm-hmm. No one else really knew. No one else knows about it. And again, that was also in the first one.
Yes, you're right. That all happened in the first one. But I was surprised because I missed the part where Reg was there. But he's just spouting it off like...
Yes. Yes. Okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
He was saying that was common knowledge. No, he was. So I, in the very first one, I was not aware of that. Like, obviously I was aware of it, but I didn't know that she knew. I didn't know that he knew. I missed that part. In this one, during the introductions, he explains to a relative stranger who ends up helping them that she was born dead, and with the use of the relics, she was brought back to life, which is why she wants to go down and does the whole backstory. I just thought it was a surprising confirmation that it wasn't secret, so to speak, because I thought that...
Well, who else is she... Okay, so let me ask you this. Who else is Nanachi going to tell? Mm-hmm. Legitimately...
No, it's not about a secret.
It's 100% about a secret. It's like... He's talking to one person literally not going to say anything to anyone. So it doesn't, at this point, it really honestly doesn't matter. It's not like he's like went up to the random black whistle that they found. He's like, oh, by the way, Rico was dead and brought back to life by a relic. Aha. It's like, no, given the full, he's like, hey, I'm trying to help build this relationship with you, and this is our circumstances. Mm-hmm. This is our story. Can you please tell me more about your circumstances? Tell me more about your story because of why are you so afraid of everyone? What's going on and everything like that. So he's trying to gain the trust. And he also doesn't understand the weight of the information that he's actually giving either.
That is evident. That is that is very easy to see. But again, my shock by it was I didn't know that he knew. I thought it was like a secret conversation.
Okay.
I didn't see the interaction where he learned that. So it made me think that, oh, he's getting some of his memories back. And that he's, obviously now that you've mentioned it, it makes more sense. Because he touched on it and then never spoke about it again. I was like, that's an odd little, okay, maybe, sure. But the way they described going down in more depth, they kind of fleshed that idea out. And it's, as far as world building goes, it definitely added another layer, figuratively and literally, to why things happen and how things happen. But it also shows you that it's not as straightforward as you initially thought. And the way that they describe it before, like last movie, they described the abyss as this thing to explore. Whereas in this one, it reminds me of a trap, for lack of a better way to put it, just a deceptively appealing trap.
Oh, so you're talking about the, yeah, because of how Nanachi explained it, right?
Yes.
And she makes it seem like it's trap, so it's like it's easy to go down. That's why nothing happens, because you're going into it, but it's restricting you from leaving. And whenever you try to leave, the more severe the consequences get, or the more severe mm-hmm. the traps are when you leave. Yeah, no, I get it.
Yeah. The artwork that she proposed reminded me a lot of a throat of a sea turtle, where it's got a bunch of spikes pointing down. So if you tried to, like with a jellyfish they eat and stuff like that, but you can go one way very easily, whereas the other way, not so much. And I didn't realize that ascending, I thought the way that it hit me, the way that I understood it was, once you ascend to a certain level, you can go up and down that level as quick as you want, as fast as you want, no issues whatsoever. Whereas Uh-oh. It was shown to me that, no, that's not the case.
Yeah,
even when you're on the same level, if you go up quickly, it'll hurt. If you go down quickly, not so much.
Well, it's not even not so much. It's like you're not going to get hurt. You could go down, but you can't go up. Like if you go up, you'll encounter that issue, and that's where you're going to get hurt. And it's not even that if you go up slowly, this won't happen. It's in general, if you go up at all, slow, fast, what have you, it will happen. But and that's just kind of how it is.
That's interesting, because that
you'll understand too. No, you'll understand. I believe it's in the series where they kind of where that will make more sense to you.
Okay,
because yeah, the series, it'll make a lot more sense to you. I feel like simply because of how they kind of move on and interpret or move forward with things.
Okay, so it's basically just a difference of understanding due to the series versus the movies.
Yes.
Okay. I look forward to the series then.
Yeah. They do go into a lot more details for the series. But the movie, like, so what happens when Riko ends up getting poisoned and Nanachi, and before Nanachi actually gets there, how Riko goes about and tells what Reg should do? Like, even as she's on death's door, as she's encountering her death and everything like that, basically, she's knocking on death's door. She is telling Reg what to do and how to do it. And it is one of the more gruesome scenes from the series that we've seen to date, right? Because what she asks Reg to do is break her arm and then saw off her arm where he broke it. She tells him specifically, like, you have to break it here, and I need you to cut it off right where you broke it. And the details that they go into and how they go about it is just magnificent. Not in that it's a very beautiful thing. It's like, no, like the mentality that she has, even at her young age, and what she's trying to accomplish and move towards is amazing. And when you learn about Nanichi and her life and what she's doing and how she gained her skills and how she grew, it makes you kind of go, oh, wow, that's kind of messed up. Right. But it was a survive kind of world. It was a dog eat dog world. And for her, it was very much that way, where she had to do these cruel things. One, to try and figure out how she could help her friend Mitty. And at the exact same time, she couldn't let her existence truly get out or be known.
Unfortunately, yeah, they're called hollows or hollow, I think is what the term used.
Yes.
And it brings a whole other, in my mind, a whole other concern for the White Whistles. They seem crazy. They seem aloof. They seem, granted, I've only seen two, I've only seen, well, three, sorry, three, including the mom. But I've only seen two, and they're very self-absorbed, very...
So, again, the series goes into more... The series goes into more details about the whistles and a little bit more details about their personalities, but
I'm sure, but I know.
I'm letting you know. I'm setting you up so that way you understand. But also in the third movie, which is why I want to wait, the third movie explains how you get the white whistle.
Okay.
And when you get the white, when it's explained, you will go, oh yeah, no, that makes total sense now.
I mean, I have a few guesses, but I'd rather not make a fool of myself completely in that regard.
Yeah.
But yeah, they seem to look at the people beneath them as non-human and non-worthy of empathy, so long as you get the result they require. Specifically, this one, you'll be much better at the name than I am. The one Bondrewd? Doing the experiments.
Bondrewd.
So Bondrewd takes orphans, I assume, children, and does these experiments to further his own either knowledge or understanding or something.
He explains exactly what it's for. It's so that way, one, he can understand the abyss and the experiments that he's doing, so that way they can figure out how to get past or ascend from the sixth layer, because he's at the fifth layer. Sixth layer is considered the layer of no return. Like, it's the final dive. So once you go down past that sixth layer, there is no coming back up. Once you come back up, you are considered dead. And she even states that. And the experiments, when you learn from the movie about her background, her story, or their story, rather, is that is exactly what he's doing. He's like, he's dropping them down into the pit and he's pulling them back up and he's trying to figure out how to come back and still maintain his humanity, his strength, his entire being. And so he's going through trying to figure out all these tests with these tests. And that's why he's doing it with orphans, because they're an orphan. They don't have any parents. Who's going to miss them?
No one will miss them.
Yeah, exactly. As cold as that is, that's exactly why.
Yeah, so. That's brutal, but I suppose effective if you use his train of thought. And he eventually somehow, due to his experiments, found that if you throw two people down in the sixth abyss with this machine, you can transfer the curse from one to the other, meaning one will get double the curse and one presumably will have no ill effects, but that's obviously not true. It makes me think that in order to succeed, you need to go down with more than just one other person to take the curse from you. But what I found quite, I don't know if disturbing is the right way to put it, but Mitzi turns into this beast looking thing, right? This blob.
Yep.
When they were down in the abyss, how many other of these blobs did you see? And I can only imagine there were all the other.
There were tons down there, and it's not just ones from his experiment either. Like there have been others.
Those are the natural inhabitants.
No, I'm saying like there have others that have likely gone down there and tried coming back, and that was the result.
Ah, I see. Okay, they just didn't make it out, whereas he did, or they didn't make it out of the sixth layer, whereas the other ones were forcefully brought to the fifth. And didn't have that opportunity.
Right.
That's far better than what I was originally thinking. Cause I was originally thinking that he's like, oh, failure, back in the pit you go, free fall style.
Well, not that it would matter, so, because even with the experiments for Mitty, right? And why Mitty and Nanachi ran away is because Bondrewd was experimenting and figuring out about Mitty. And he's like, yeah, you can rip off the arms, you can cut them, you can stab it, you can shoot her, you can do this, you can do that, and all this other stuff. And that'll be fine. And come back to life. Eyes grow back, arms grow back, all this other stuff grows back. And then you find out later on, after Reg uses his incinerator again, Nanichi knows exactly what it is, calls it by a very particular name, and says that is the only thing that's been able to actually injure Mitty and not have it be regenerate. And then at that point, Nanichi asks Reg, is like, hey, I need you to do me a favor. I need you to kill my friend. And then you learn that the entire time, and God knows how long that she's been down there trying, you learn that she's been trying to kill her friend the entire time.
Yeah. And in no uncertain terms, it is torture. But this is where you have to go through a moral dilemma. Is torture with a positive result worth it? Because you can't really tell if any part of Mitzi's still there. Like, well, mentally, it's not, but as far as physicality goes,
she wasn't trying to torture her. I don't know why you're saying that.
Kill her, but
but
a byproduct of this, of the attempts, were the antidote, if you will. Several antidotes were made. Several different cures, let's call them, were made as a byproduct of trying to be merciful. It turned. Yeah. I can't imagine that any part of it was merciful.
Right. Well, trying to kill someone that can't be killed is kind of merciful. Trying to figure out a way to make it so that way she can pass on. Right. Mm-hmm. Because the last words Mitty was saying was like, kill me. Literally, please kill me.
Yep.
So I don't understand what I'm having difficulty understanding is like, oh, is the torture aspect that you're trying to go with. It's not, torturing her. She's not holding her there to torture her. Right. Or are you talking about the people that she was saving and pulling in there? And then, okay. So that's where you're talking about. Yeah, no. Well, it's not even a matter of her holding them there to torture and for her own devices. She brought them there for a very specific reason to try and use them to help her kill Mitty. And then she kills them as a result. She's not keeping him there for constant torture.
Gotcha. I see. So
that's why there were so many gravestones.
Initially, that makes a lot more sense. Well, I don't know a lot more sense, but it makes a certain sense that's clear now. Because I was looking, well, obviously we was looking, but when I saw all of those whistles hung up off to the side, and then I saw the scene where she's had one of the adventurers just laid out, stabbed, and she's like, well, all right, you're useless now, I gotta kill you. It made me think that she was testing the lethality, the how lethal something is on these people before she used it on Mitty. So that's why I was like, it looks like torture. But even with that, if Mitty was immortal and didn't really have the cognitive ability to understand what's going on, which I think she might have, maybe a little bit, using that immortal body to create anti-venoms and stuff like that. There were a lot of anti-venoms. She tried a lot. I mean, obviously we agree that she did. But why save the anti-venoms? Like, why save all of the medicines?
Because the people that have been stabbed by the creature that are going to die, she can save them still and try and find a use for them. Right. So she's, That's where, because when you brought up the torture thing, you talked about specifically Mitty. You didn't talk about the people that she had saved and say that she was experimenting on them. And she's not torturing them per se. She's experimenting on them. Torture, my mind, is when you torture someone, you are doing it for a particular goal of trying to gather information from them mentally, from their, whereas of experimentation is, hey, guess what? I'm going to test some things on you, and I'm sorry, this is going to suck.
Okay. No, so I went a few different ways in my head with that. I just landed on the one we were talking about. But in my mind, the way it played out was originally torturing Mitzi, not intentionally, I'd like to point that out. But the byproduct of that was antidotes. What about the white whistle that created her? If he was to make a few Mitzis and just pump out stuff like that, assuming they can't understand what the kind of pain they're in, would it have been more beneficial to create anti-venoms and antidotes for everybody else using these poor, unfortunate
creatures? We're talking about hypotheticals and him changing the goal of what he's trying to do. He's already stated what his goal is.
Yeah, you're to survive about, down there. Would that?
No, we're
would that be not one talking, way to do it.
No, he's not talking about surviving down there. He's talking about coming back up from the sixth layer.
I see no difference in surviving the sixth layer and coming back up from the sixth layer.
What is injecting them with poison to get an antidote have to do with it?
In my mind, again, I keep saying that because I can only go there. I haven't seen the extras that you might.
I'm not talking about the extras. This has nothing to do with the extras. You're trying to make an argument saying, hey, he can totally inject him with poison and then use that as an antidote. But they're not getting poisoned when they're coming up. They're going through a metamorphosis or just straight up dying.
Okay.
So how do you have an antidote for death? What's your antidote for death?
I was viewing the curse as a virus, as an infection. You breathe it in. You breathe in the infection. That's what I thought the curse was.
No, that Nanichi even went through the process of explaining what the curses are.
Mm-hmm. Okay? Saying that they were all around you. They move and they.
And when you try and go up, think of it like this. And she put out a blanket. When you're trying to go down, there's no resistance. It's like you're going down in the bubble. But when you try to go out, you have to force your way through. And so you pop or force your way through that barrier, through that bubble.
Okay.
That's why she used the blanket as the metaphor. She's like, it has this movement, but when you reach a certain level, she symbolizes it by using her finger to poke through that blanket to go through. Mm-hmm. And she's like, and now you're on the other side. And that's why you have it happens. It's because you're forcing it your way through. And that's the repercussions of it.
See, and this is one of the reasons why I like discussing it with you, because my understanding was far off. And yeah, she did say it like that. But I just assumed that the blanket was a metaphor for the curse. And because the curse is all around you, it hangs at a particular level. And then when you try to ascend, when you try to go back up, the curse that you've breathed in, that you've absorbed into your body, doesn't like that other level and tries to get out, which is why she started bleeding from the eyes, because the curse was leaving her body. That's what I thought happened.
No, not even the case. And they, because if that was the case, the orb splitter, I think is what it's called. I can't remember, but, mm-hmm. Nanichi even says it can see the flow and it knows where you're going to go based on it. So if you're breathing it in, it doesn't matter if you're the direction you're going to go. If you're breathing it in, it's just going to show you're coming to it. That's why when he had to beat it, Nanichi told Reg, you have to look up like you're going to go up and mean it. Not just like half-heartedly commit to it, but wholeheartedly commit to it.
Oh.
Yeah, I totally misunderstood that at all. When I heard the look up like you mean it, I just thought like throw your head back. Don't like keep your head halfway there. Go all the way up. Trust that nothing's going to happen. And then when you saw the visual from Orby, I just looked at that and it looked like it was actually, no, that makes a lot more sense now. Cause I just thought like it was the aura exuding from his body. He could see like the Orby could see infrared or different spectrums of color. So by looking up, because he's part machine, he's emitting some kind of infrared colors. So when he looked up, that's where it went, and that's where he was attacking. But now that you say something to the effect of it's the intent and that the monsters are able to predict where you're going to go, it lines up much better than what I was thinking.
Yep.
So yeah, this is just full of misunderstandings on my part then.
Yep.
And much more confusion.
Yep. I mean, like, it's amazing what happens if you just pay attention, Rick.
I'd say it's amazing what happens when you watch the show, but
no, like all that information that we talked about in the movie has nothing to do with the show, has everything to do with you not paying attention, because the references I said,
understanding
the references that I talked about, those exact references are in the movie. Like that.
No,
those specifics, it's like there's nothing extra to them. Like that, those scenes and everything like that, those are in the movie, in the shows as is. They don't go into more details about it.
Yeah. No, I misunderstood, because what I was thinking was something a little bit more fantastical.
I get you.
Something a little bit more out left field, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Whereas what you're saying is, yeah, just right up home plate.
Like, you don't need to get crazy. Yeah, I guess
in a lot of cases, the simplest answer is usually the right one.
Yep. Hmm. All right. I don't have too much more I can really talk about for this. Other than the fact that I feel like you should watch it. It definitely, when you watch it, it does have comedic value. It does have comedic points in it. There are a couple of parts that are in there that just like really kind of like hit you in the feels. Like when you're watching it, it definitely just hits you right in the feels, and you can't help but go, damn.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a few in there that they do a really good job at character development and making you feel good and bad for certain characters. And you become rather invested, I would say, in the survival or rather lack thereof of Mitzi.
Yep.
It just brings a whole, it's a good watch, but don't expect a satisfying ending, because just like in the first episode, it feels like it's primed and ready for the third movie.
It is. And honestly, that's how the season ends too. So season ends with it being like primed and ready for the third movie. So,
jeez.
On a scale of up to 10, sir, how would you rate this?
Before you corrected my confusion, I was going to rate it like a 7 or 8. No, I'm still going to go 7 or 8.
So which one is it?
Give me a second. I'm getting there. I'm weak. I got a method.
You ain't fantastic, got no method. Visuals. Yeah, no method.
It's not pure madness, I promise. They've got fantastic visuals. They were able to really pique my interest in learning more, or at least hoping to learn more. Even though you've corrected me on several misunderstandings, it makes sense, and it doesn't take away from me wanting to know more. If anything, because you mentioned that the series itself is slightly different but more detailed, I'm here for it. This movie had a disturbing amount of gore, but for a short amount of time. But it was definitely compacted. But the attention to detail and the overall movement of the movie is very good. And I'm giving it an 8. I would definitely watch this again with somebody else or alone, just so that I can try to pick up more stuff that I might have missed. And yeah, it was enjoyable. There was music that fit. The graphics were above average, easily above average. And the storylines were just impeccable. I loved them. Definite thought and money was put into this.
Oh yeah.
So I look forward to the next.
Okay. So what did you settle on?
8.
All right. I'm going with a 9. I enjoyed it. It was great. It was very enjoyable. Definitely well worth the watch. The artistic visuals of it, the character development, the growth, the animation, everything, just, it really does a great job of drawing you in there. It gives you enough information to help you understand what's going on, and then it helps explain everything that's happening in a fairly simplistic way, so that way it's easily digestible. They're not overwhelming you with a bunch of like theories and viewpoints and things like that. They do a really, really great job of trying to explain everything. So yeah, 9 from me, 8 from you. Next week we're going to be doing the series, actually. So we're going to go back. We're going to rewatch the whole thing, but we're going to watch the series and kind of get, it'll be our kind of comparison view between the series and the movie. And then
I look forward to it.
We'll reconvene on that. Hopefully it gives you a better understanding of the world, and what's going on and everything like that. Because in the first movie, they did reference some things kind of going on more so for the surface area than anything else. And then they didn't elaborate on it. So it kind of made me question, like, why would they bring it up type of thing, you know, but neither here nor there. So if you feel like we did it too much justice, not enough justice, did it a horrible job of kind of giving a viewpoint and review on this, feel free to let us know. You can reach out to us. All our contact information and everything like that's going to be available in our show notes, or you can go to our website, featuredanimepodcast.com. All our contact information and everything like that is on there. If you want to join us live and hang out with us while we record the episodes, you can go to twitch.tv/featuredanimepodcast and go ahead and give us a follow on there and help us grow. And if you want to listen to the pre and post show content that we usually do with every single episode, you can also go to patreon.com/featuredanimepodcast. $1 a month will get you access to that bonus content and more. And if you want to save yourself $5 on Tokyo Treats and help support us, you can use coupon code featured anime along with our affiliate link that's in the show notes for you. Get yourself some wonderful tasty snacks. It is very recommended. And until next time, I'm Jack.
I'm Rick. And we'll see you next time.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.